Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Hey, really quick, before I get to this other story that I wanted to mention, that I wanted to bring up and tell you about. The driver last week who was driving the wrong way down Bourbon Street, and the Louisiana State Police shot him. And some people thought that the cop didn't have to do that. And we mentioned how if you saw the video, the two Louisiana State Troopers, they were banging on the driver's door, telling him to stop. But he kept driving, and he was going slow.
Well, he stops and recognizes someone's banging, and then he accelerates again.
Then he kept going. And I said it was totally a justifiable shooting, because some people thought, well, the cop shot first and was asking questions second, and the driver was going really slow and blah, 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 blah. And I thought it was a justifiable shooting as soon as we saw the videotape. Well, his blood alcohol level just came back, the driver of that car. He was over five times the legal limit.
Five times.
And he's a New Orleanian. His name is Eric Coulander.
And this is 7 o'clock. So this is some quality day drinking happening for five times the legal limit.
Happened just after 7 o'clock at night last week. His blood alcohol level measured at 0.416%. That is over five times the legal limit. So again, I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. Completely justifiable shooting. If you don't think it was a justifiable shooting, what was the cop supposed to do after? Again, there were two cops. One in front of the car. One came up from the side, from the rear side, on the driver's side, banging on his car, on his windows. He was not stopping, and he was about to drive up on a curb.
So now that you know that the blood alcohol content of this guy, text us, 260-9595. And let us know what he was supposed to do if you don't agree if it was justifiable.
Just answer that question. If you don't think it was justifiable, what was the cop supposed to do? In my opinion, it was completely justifiable. And by the way, if you do text us, remember standard rates apply. And please don't text while you're driving.
Especially not the wrong way down Bourbon.
Yeah. Well, big news yesterday came out of Parkland, Florida, where they had that awful shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School there. They arrested one of the school cops. His name is Scott Peterson. I know, generic name, if the name sounds familiar. This is a different guy.
This is one T in Scott.
Yeah, this isn't the guy who's sitting in San Quentin prison in Northern California for killing his 8.5-month pregnant wife, Lacey Peterson. Remember that story?
Yeah.
This is a different Scott Peterson. This Scott Peterson was employed at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, when the mass shooting happened last year. And this Scott Peterson, the campus cop, was just arrested yesterday, taken into custody for being a coward.
For inaction.
For not doing his job. When he heard the shots at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, he got on his radio and he called to his superiors saying, I hear shots. It could be firecrackers, fireworks. But then he says, no, I hear shots. And he's outside the building and he does not go into the building.
He draws his gun and waits 48 minutes.
He drew his gun and never went into the building to confront the school shooter. Again, he's a campus officer. He wears a green uniform, a green policeman's uniform. He has a gun. They give him a gun. Got a badge.
From the videos, he's the high school has golf carts to get around the campus very quickly.
He hops in a golf cart, but he goes everywhere except for towards the shooter. He goes everywhere except in the building where the shooting is taking place. Now he has been arrested, and some of the parents there are not happy.
He needs to go to jail, and he needs to serve a lifetime in prison for not going in that day and taking down the threat and that led to the death of our loved ones. And he needs to be held accountable for his lack of action that day.
He's been called a coward right after this happened, because people wanted to know, what did he do? He was right outside the building when the shots started being fired, and he did not go in the building. Look, at that point, evidently he just thought he was one of these employees who got a cool police-like looking uniform.
He's been like getting judged for this for over a year now.
He's been called a coward.
He's been copping to it. He's like, there's nothing worse than being called a coward, like, other than like the people who lost family members in the incident.
Evidently, he just thought that police-like looking uniform, it's green, but evidently he just thought it was something cool to wear. Oh, they give him a gun too. Yeah, I'll put this in my holster. Give me this nice badge.
And part of his training was active shooter situations.
Yeah.
So that went far.
So he was arrested and charged yesterday with 11 criminal charges. And 10 of the 11 criminal charges, the 56-year-old Scott Peterson, the former Stoneman Douglas High School campus cop, 10 of 11 of the criminal charges he faces stem from killings and injuries that happened on the third floor. The remaining charge accuses him of perjury during a sworn statement to investigators after this whole thing happened.
So it's perjury on top of four misdemeanors, child neglect, culpable negligence.
In total, 11 criminal charges. He took cover rather than confronting the killer. And they have, at a high school, at a public high school, everything inside and out these days is on video. There are video cameras everywhere. And when I was watching the news last night, they showed the video of him right before the shooting, standing outside the building. And then once the shooting started, hopping into a golf cart and driving away. And then running back and forth outside the building, but not into the building, and not going up on the third floor and not confronting the shooter with his weapon. That's what he should have done. It's a fact. He's a complete coward, and if he did his job, there's a good chance that less of the high school students and teachers would have been shot and killed.
I think his logic was maybe the emergency responders, aside from himself, would show up, and then he could be like, hey, the bad guy's over there. He's in that building. He could be that, I think, and then it just went on too long. So he looks really bad.
There's no doubt about it. If he did his job the way he was supposed to, if he wasn't a coward, he has a uniform and a gun and a badge. Once he heard the first shots, he should have darted right into that building that he was standing next door to, and he should have darted right up the stairs to the third floor, and he should have shot that kid in the head. But he did not do that.
No, and it's definitely cowardly, and I think that was his logic of trying to stay out by just being the point man outside when other emergency responders arrive. And it just went on too long. Now, in the news, it's extra cowardly because then you have stories, and unfortunately it's on video, in that New Zealand shooting, people who were getting shot at were rushing the shooter. They're going. And there's people.
Not just the New Zealand shooting. The last high school shooting we had in America about a month ago, The one kid that died ran towards the shooter, knowing he was going to get shot, but he's not going to let the shooter shoot up the entire school. That's the mindset that many people have. Not all, but that's the mindset that many people have these days as we sit here in America 2019.
And these people weren't trained in active shooter situations, so no. It completely comes down to character here.
And this guy was one of the fathers whose daughter was on the floor when she died. Jamie Gutenberg was her name. Her father, Fred Gutenberg, said, quote, "He should rot. That's how I feel. My daughter was one of the last to be shot. My daughter absolutely could have been saved by him, and she wasn't," unquote. Again, if one of the students or one of the teachers was one of the last ones to be shot. I mean, that went on for a couple of minutes. And this guy, Scott Peterson, in his uniform, in his cop uniform, it was green, but he had a badge, he had a gun, and his job was to be security for that high school. He was standing right outside the building. And as soon as he heard the shots, instead of running in and up the stairs with his gun drawn and shooting the shooter in the head or shooting at his head as many times as he can, he didn't. He got in a golf cart. He went back and forth. He then ran kind of across the way, but he did never. He never went into the building.
It was trying
to do his job.
He was trying to look busy while doing nothing with his gun drawn outside. That's even worse. That he's making the appearance of taking action.
Yeah, he had his gun drawn, standing outside the building. You know, and I never like to sweat. And by the way, that's Joshua Dowsch. He's filling in for Brewster today. Josh usually does the traffic on the show.
Brewster's out one more day. He says he'll be back tomorrow.
All right.
All right. So far.
And the one thing, when we talk about stories that happen all the time on this show, and the one thing I don't like to do, Josh, is say, well, what would you have done in this situation? Here's what I would have done in this situation. It's easy to say that, but when something... And any story that we have that we talk about, when something happens, it's a split second decision in your mind what you would have done. This guy,
but this is what training.
This was his job.
That's what training's supposed to circumvent.
He was trained in this situation.
His training should have been: here's your split decision. It's being made for you by the training. Get this into you. These things happen.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Other people who aren't supposed to be trained in these things are they can hesitate. And be caught up in the moment.
Yeah, he was trained in what to do in this situation.
And 30 years of experience as well.
And again, he had the school cop uniform. He had the gun. He had the badge. He had it all. Except for the moral compass, the stones, the fortitude to do what he was trained to do. He was scared. He was a coward. And that's how he reacted in that life or death situation.
A comparable situation could be if there was a car accident and emergency responders got to the scene and didn't know what to do to get a person out of the vehicle.
I know, they're emergency responders. That's their job.
But they were scared to do something. Mm. It would be like the same, what are you doing here?
Well, the coward school cop at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, arrested yesterday. 11 charges he's been charged with, and now it'll be interesting to see how much prison time that this guy's going to do. And why is he going to jail? For being a coward. It's that simple.
I heard one of the articles here said 97 years. It could be the maximum he'd be facing.
You heard one parent.
Yeah.
Of one of the 14-year-old students who was shot dead, one of the last people to be shot. If this coward cop, school cop, did his job, his daughter would probably still be alive, and others as well. Is this guy, it's going to be interesting once he has his trial, is this guy going to die in prison for what? For being a coward. It's that simple.
Well, if he gets 30 years... Yeah, he's dying in prison.
If you have an opinion on this and you want to send a text to us, 504 260-9595. All applicable rates apply. And please do not text while you're driving. Let us know what you think about this. Isn't that something? Going to prison for being a coward. That's it. Not doing his job.
Culpable negligence. The fancy way to say coward.
Coming up on the show. One of the famous New Orleans cemeteries is in the news. And people who have loved ones resting in peace there, they're not too happy. And we're going to explain why coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. President Donald Trump, he's with the whole family over there in England. It looks like they're having a good time. He brought all of his adult kids, the wife, Melania, and they're hanging out with the Queen. They're hanging out with Charles. They're hanging out with Camilla. And, there are some protesters that don't like Donald Trump out in the streets of London. But there's a bunch of people that do like Donald Trump. And they got together, and they're complaining. I guess some of them said that they were confided to a couple of pubs, like a bunch of the pro-Trump people over there. But they're over there as well. So he's doing that over there. While back home, Mexico isn't happy because Donald Trump threatened to put a tariff on products coming into America from Mexico if the Mexican government doesn't stop all of the Central American people from storming through Mexico and then coming through our country through the Mexican border. So Mexico is not happy about Trump and with the tariffs, and now they're threatening retaliation for the United States tariffs. What are they going to do? Cut off our heroin? What possibly could Mexico do? Stay unhappy. All right, coming up next, there are people that aren't happy about what's happening in one of the historic New Orleans cemeteries where their loved ones are buried. We'll explain coming up next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. So some upset people went in to talk with the New Orleans City Council members yesterday. And what they were upset about is the fact that they have loved ones buried. Well, here in New Orleans, our graves, they're above ground. So they got them in like the tombs above ground. Over at Lafayette Cemetery Number 1, that's on Washington. That's the one right across the way from Commander's Palace,
Washington and Britannia, yep.
which is regarded as the best restaurant in New Orleans.
So it draws extra tourists.
Yeah, and the reason why this group of people are upset, they say that cemetery people aren't acting the way they should over there. It's like a circus. It's become a circus, a carnival sideshow. And they want the New Orleans City Council to do something about it.
This can't be a new thing, though.
Well, obviously, and that's Josh in for Brewster today. You know, Josh, some of the cemeteries in this city are big tourist attractions.
Yeah, these tours have been going on for a long time, unless something has happened recently where it's gotten really aggressive.
Now, I know St. Louis Number 1 is the most famous cemetery. And when I had my sister, when she came to visit me, and I told the story on the radio, she wanted to go over there because she has read about it and seen it on television, and she wanted to go over there. And, you know, it costs money. I think it was $20 or $30 to go take a tour. I bought a ticket for her. I went. We had a cousin come in. And
that's the cemetery, St. Louis Number 1, where Nicolas Cage's pyramid
tomb is. It's a big pyramid. We saw that, yeah. And it was pretty cool hearing the stories about some of the people who were buried over there. It was an enjoyable tour. I guess as enjoyable as a tour of a cemetery, a tour of dead people can be. I thought it was cool. But that's the only time I've lived here over 11 years now in New Orleans. It's the only time I went to a cemetery. I try to stay out of cemeteries.
Well, when it comes to the Lafayette Cemetery Number 1, I mean, I always see Garden District tours, and it's always being advertised. Well, they take you around. Where could they possibly be going other than walking past houses? One of the few things to do on a Garden District tour would be to go to that cemetery.
Yeah.
Like,
well, let's see. Garden District tour. I mean, go by the Mannings' house.
Right.
That's not far from the cemetery. The house where Archie Manning lived when he was the quarterback of the Saints, and the house where he raised two Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks. I mean, there's not another house in the world that could say, hey, two Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks grew up in this house right here.
That's true. But
Peyton and Eli Manning.
The most interactive portion, the main event of any Garden District tour would be going to that cemetery.
Well, they say people are disrespecting that cemetery. They're saying that people are doing jello shots in that cemetery. Somebody actually said that people are opening up the tombs again, which are above ground because we're below sea level here.
Now, one thing that's definitely they mentioned here, filming inside the tombs where you're not getting in there, but you can maybe put your phone up and get into a crack and then show the inside of the tomb and then putting that on YouTube and social media. They're complaining about that as well. I could see that being very prevalent.
This selfie culture has gotten out of control with trying to take a selfie in front of a partially open tomb.
And they're saying that...
And they're smiling. It's like when people go over to tour the Nazi death camps in Europe when they go to Auschwitz. And they're smiling and dancing and taking selfies. The people of Auschwitz, they've had to put out public Facebook posts. They've had to put out public posts saying, look, when you come here... Please, enough with the dancing around, the smiling selfies. You know, millions of Jewish people were killed here. But please stop with that.
At that point, do you just put up a sign that says no cell phones? Please?
Here. Or at least be respectful.
Yeah.
But here, back here at the Lafayette Cemetery, number one, you know, this group that went in to complain to the New Orleans City Council yesterday, they're part of a group. And the name of their group is Lafayette Cemetery Number 1 Tomb and Coping Owners Association. It's a long name to put on a business card, but they must be some group. They went into city council to complain. Quote, things have deteriorated drastically in the last two or three years. Congestion, crowds, the main gate. The entrance to our family's resting place has been turned into a carnival sideshow. I think the other day there was some little person out there juggling in front of the cemetery. Quote, the disrespect knows no bounds. Tombs have been opened and tampered with. Human remains have been filmed and uploaded to YouTube. And so now the New Orleans City Council, they're obviously not happy about this. When this group goes into the city council chambers and says, we're not happy about this, and they say they want to do something. Maybe they need to do what St. Louis Cemetery, number one, where Nicolas Cage's tomb is. Maybe they need to charge people money to go in there. Because I don't know if it costs any money to go into that one across the way from Commander's Palace. I think people just go over, they have a good meal at one of the most famous restaurants.
Or they're waiting for a table or something.
Or they're waiting for a table at one of the most famous, one of the best restaurants, if not the best restaurant in the city of New Orleans, Commander's Palace. Hey, we got a few minutes. Let's go over to, let's go across the street over here to Lafayette Cemetery number one and see what's happening with the tombs.
Now, I feel bad here because the group says they're concerned about the amount of filming that happens in the cemetery, and the only time I've been in that cemetery was about 6 years ago on a movie doing a scene in there.
So you were filming.
So we were filming.
You were part of
there.
The problem.
But the city gets that money. That's a location that doesn't go to the cemetery. That's just a city location, I'm assuming. So I'm not sure how the money shakes out there, but yeah, the only time I've been in Lafayette Cemetery was for a movie.
Yeah, a lot of history in cemeteries. Cemeteries are wild places, but you got to respect them if you go in them. And we'll see what can be done about this if they're going to... I mean, would that be fair to family members, loved ones, if they start charging a big chunk of cash like they do to get into St. Louis Cemetery number one? Well, I just wanted to go see great-grandpa. Now, all of a sudden, I got to pay $30? The hell is this?
I'm surprised there wasn't a cover charge anyway. And I'm sure for people who've got family members interred there that you get a pass.
Hey, when you die, do you want to be buried or do you want to be cremated or what do you want, Josh? Have you thought about it? I really haven't planned on anything, and I'm older than you are.
Haven't thought about it. It's one of those things that's not my problem anymore.
No. But with me, I don't care. To be honest with you, once you're gone, you're gone. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Take me and throw me in the woods up north of Bogalusa. Just throw me in the woods and let the animals, whatever, because who cares?
Yeah, unless I don't have, like, a wealthy estate where I can build an obelisk for myself, like Nicolas Cage.
Like Nicolas Cage is over there.
Then other than that, I don't.
All right, hang out with us. Coming up on the show, did you see Voodoo Fest? The lineup was announced. We'll talk about that coming up. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So they announced who's performing at Voodoo Fest, City Park.
I'm getting a mixed response from
this year.
About it.
Yeah. Well, the headliner is Guns N' Roses, and that's cool.
That's a big sell.
And they've got what do they got left? They got three of the original guys left: Axl Rose, Slash, and Duff McKagan.
The keyboard player, Dizzy Reed.
Dizzy Reed, he came around. Not original, but he came around. He came around back in their heyday, joined the band to play some keyboards.
It's been 3 years. It'll have been over 3.5 years since they played here last. So,
but they let's see. You got Guns N' Roses, and it's going to be at City Park, October 25th. 26th and 27th. Guns N' Roses, Beck, and a rapper named Post Malone, they're the headliners.
Yeah, that's it.
I know. Yeah, there were some people that went on social media yesterday and said, really, Voodoo Fest?
And this isn't a generational thing that just like if you or I don't know or don't care about Post Malone, because I've seen it from people way younger than me, that they're saying the Voodoo Fest lineup is eh.
Mm-hmm. Another band who's playing that is really good, and I always thought they were underrated, Interpol. Are you familiar with them?
Somewhat, yeah. They've been around for a while. I haven't really listened to them enough to have an opinion. I know also up here in the top of the lineup, The National. It's a fairly popular.
Who's Brandi Carlile?
I do not know Brandi Carlile.
She's right at the top of the list, too.
Same with, I vaguely know a lot of the artists at the top, but I don't listen to any of them.
And usually Voodoo Fest wants to get something in different formats. They like to get some rockers. They like to get some top 40 hip-hop. EDM, electric dance music, and they got some of that. They try to have something for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely a healthy mix. Mm. But for the sake of classic rock, the Guns N' Roses is your only shot here.
Yeah. So there it is, and we will have tickets to go see Guns N' Roses. I can promise you that. We will.
Well, tickets to the entire festival.
Yeah, we will obviously have your Voodoo Fest tickets, and we'll have plenty of them to give away here on Bayou 95.7, so stay tuned for that. But, yeah, I mean, I saw the list, and I said, huh. All right, Guns N' Roses, Beck, and Interpol.
Now they can all play on the same day.
Beck is really good, and he's underrated, too. But Beck just played here. He opened for you, too. Was it a year ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago in the Superdome? I was there. Beck.
Yeah, that was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, Beck is really cool. So stay tuned, and we will have your tickets to give away here at Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck, and we hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Anne Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
June 5th. Oh, today's the day where Bobby Kennedy was assassinated.
Ooh.
It just happened. He was just 42 years old. And he was running for president. And he was at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. And he was, after his speech, he was shot and killed as he was leaving. He was in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel when he was shot and killed by Sirhan Sirhan, who got the death penalty, but then they overturned the death penalty in California, and Sirhan Sirhan is still alive, still alive.
Still alive, and his son still claims he's innocent.
And he's saying he's innocent now, but...
Or Bobby Kennedy's son thinks that Sirhan Sirhan wasn't the guy.
They took a smoking gun out of his hand in the kitchen there. You know what's sad about that is that when Bobby Kennedy was done with his speech, he turned to the right and started walking out towards the right. And a couple of people grabbed him and said, no, you need to go this way. We're going to go out the back. So he turned all the way around, walked to the left side of the stage, walked off the stage, and then walked into the kitchen to walk out the back door there where he was shot and killed. And, you know, some people think that he would have won that year, that he may have beaten Richard Nixon.
I think that was I absolutely think that'd be a given.
Because he was popular, he was a Kennedy. Some people were still mourning the loss of his brother John F. Kennedy a few years before that. But it was today when he was shot and killed. And you know, a lot of political people wonder, because John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy back then, even though they were Democrats, they weren't as far to the left as many of the modern-day Democrats are today. Like their younger brother, Ted Kennedy. That people wonder if the Kennedys would have stayed the way they were, or if they would have, as time went on, if John lived, if Bobby lived, if they would have become more farther to the left, like Ted was. Before he died.
I'd imagine the money they came from would mean they'd always kind of be more towards the middle. Middle rightish.
We'll never know the answer to that question.
Why today doesn't suck?
June 5th. And it was today in 1993. A woman named Julie Crone won the Belmont Stakes. She was at the horse. She was the woman on the horse. She was the jockey. And she was on a horse that was 13-1 odds, a 13-1 shot to win the Belmont Stakes that day. Colonial Affair was the name of the horse. And the reason why this is a big deal, she didn't win, but she was the first she actually did win. She was the first female jockey to ever win a Triple Crown race. Julie Crone. And that's why it was 1993, and that's why it was a big deal, because she not only rode, but she was the first woman to win a Triple Crown race like that. Because you got the Kentucky Derby, you got the Preakness, and you got the Belmont Stakes. Those are the three Triple Crown horse races.
Why today doesn't suck?
June 5th. It was today in 2002, the bass player for the Ramones died, Dee Dee Ramone. He was found dead in his Hollywood, California apartment. He was 50 years old. And for fans of the Ramones, which I am one, the fact that Dee Dee Ramone lived to be 50 was something else.
Yeah, none of the original Ramones.
They're all gone now.
They didn't make it past 50. Dee Dee wasn't actually in the band from 89, I think, is when he left, when he got out.
Yeah, and, you know, the Ramones, when they were around, they never really sold a lot of albums. They didn't, I mean, they made money, but they didn't make tons and tons and tons of money. And you look back, they pretty much started the punk rock movement. And now you see a lot of people wearing Ramones t-shirts. People talk about them a lot. But it was funny, back in the day, they never sold that many albums when they were around.
No, they predate the Sex Pistols in terms of punk by 2.5 years, getting the first record out. And like a lot of bands, they had a whole career through the 80s. After everyone knows the 70s hits, but then They got, and then they got that little wave in the 90s, in the mid-90s, before they went away.
Yeah.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, today, June 5th, today in 2010, Rush Limbaugh, talk radio host, married Catherine Rogers. And many say they're still hot and heavy. She's hot. He's kind of heavy. A very successful guy, though. She is easy on the eyes. Old Mrs. Limbaugh. Did you know that this is Pet Appreciation Week?
On social media, it's Pet Appreciation Week every week.
Yeah, I know.
Forever.
The sad part is many pets remain unappreciative. But this is Pet Appreciation Week. And finally, June 5th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today, way back in 2002, R&B star R. Kelly is indicted on child pornography charges. And R. Kelly beat those charges.
These are the first charges.
Yeah, this is back in, this is 17 years ago today. 2002, he went through a whole trial, and he ended up beating those charges because the woman, the girl who was actually in the video that the world saw and everybody in that courtroom saw when R. Kelly was going to the bathroom on her and doing other things on her, she refused to admit that was her in the video. Many people think that R. Kelly's people got to her and paid her off a lot of money, her and her mother. And that's how R. Kelly skated in that trial. But he's, as you know, if you pay attention to the news, he's been arrested again a few different times ever since that very disturbing documentary came out that was on television about him. It was a 3 or 4 night documentary. I watched it. I talked about it on the show. And I said, if this guy isn't arrested by the end of the week, because girl after girl after girl after girl saying when I was underage.
Nothing has swerved public opinion more on some of these cases than documentaries coming out.
Well.
Like with Michael Jackson, too. Just everybody comes to work the next day. Did you see the documentary last night?
But definitely
guilty.
The disturbing part about the R. Kelly, I mean, it was on video. Dave Chappelle wrote the funny song about him, the song parody, I want to pee on you, and the record company knew about it, yet he was still selling back then, 2002. He was selling lots of music. So a lot of people think that his record company, his management, they were co-conspirators. But now there's so much evidence against him. He's not selling the record. Well, nobody's selling music anymore right. The way they used to, because people just get their music for free on the Internet. But R. Kelly, once he is convicted of the trial of the charges he's just been arrested on, he's going to go away for a very, very long time. And they're going to need to put him, when he goes to prison, they're going to need to put him into some kind of segregation, because what he did to so many underage black girls, he's not going to be very popular in prison like he was outside of prison because he could sing.
Don't you think he's going to have some guys pay off people in prison so he's got his own protective clique around
him? I think
he's
broke.
He might be broke.
He needed fans to bail him out of prison these last two times in the last year when he's been arrested. He didn't have the money to bail out. Fans of him bailed him out of prison. Do you know that he can't read or write? He's dumb. He cannot read or write. I mean, he made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Probably the dumbest guy that ever made that much money. He literally cannot read. He cannot write.
So you don't think the fans won't bail him out again this next time?
Well, he's already been bailed out by fans, but once he goes to his trial and once he gets convicted, there's nothing fans can do. He's going to jail for a long, long time. That's going to happen in the foreseeable future. And that's the segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, we got a good Florida man story. Usually a day can't go by where you can't find a wild story about some guy or some woman from Florida. Stay tuned for that. And Ted Ginn, Patriots wide receiver, he offered anybody $10,000 if they could beat him in the 100-yard dash. A white kid said, I'll take you up on that. We'll explain coming up. here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Hey, Friday night, if you're looking for something to do, we're hanging out at Kelly's Pub in Metairie. It's a Why Tonight Doesn't Suck party. And I'll be your host this Friday night, two nights from now. Come and hang out with us. We'll have a lot of fun, good times. That starts at 8 o'clock this Friday night. I like Kelly's Pub in Metairie. Join us for a Why Tonight Doesn't Suck party. You can get all the details at our website, bayou957.com. So, Patriots wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr.
He doesn't play for us, Ted Ginn?
What did I say? Oh, Saints. I'm sorry. Saints wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr. What did I say, Patriots?
You said Patriots.
See that 2x4 over there? Hit me upside the head with it. Saints wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr. He's been in the league now a dozen years, 12 years. And he made a statement recently. He still believes that he's the fastest guy in the NFL. And he said he would challenge anyone to a race.
I'm hearing from the OTAs that he is still really fast.
Yeah, and he said recently that he would challenge anyone to a race. I don't know if 40 yards or 100 yards. But he said he would challenge them. And if they beat him, he'd pay him $10,000. And so he's getting challenges from everybody. I mean, people mostly out of the NFL.
Right.
But one guy that challenged him is a guy we've mentioned on the show before. He's a high school kid, a white kid. His name is Matt Bowling. And he just broke the record and now he ran a 40-yard dash outside. And he broke the high school record, and his time was world-class time. And he's one of the fastest sprinters in high school in America. But the ironic thing is he's white. And he just, he said, I'm taking Ted Ginn Jr. up on this.
Has Ted Ginn answered yet?
I don't think Ted Ginn has answered him. Even though Ted Ginn says, look, I know I've been around for a long time, but I will challenge anybody in a race. And so this kid, Matt Bowling, the high schooler from Texas, he, in the 100-meter dash, he broke 10 seconds. He ran it in under 10 seconds. Now, they're saying he did it outside and the wind was at his back a little bit. So, but still, for a high school kid to run a 100-meter dash in under 10 seconds, and the fact that he's white is incredible. I mean, how many white guys play speed positions in the NFL? I mean, halfback, wide receiver, cornerback, not that many. You could probably count them on one hand. But this Matt Bowling kid said he wants to race Ted Ginn in this race, and he wants the $10,000. And we have not heard back from Ted Ginn yet, but he has been challenged, and he's been challenged by someone that literally broke 10 seconds running a 100-meter dash.
You know what would be a great way to have this competition go off? Halftime at a Saints game.
Well, I don't think that Ted Ginn could do that because you still got to play the second half.
But I was just thinking of, like, I hope if this happens somewhere they sold tickets. That would be a big, big, you know, not big, but funny event to go to.
Wouldn't that be fun to see Ted Ginn race this high school kid that broke 10 seconds in a 100-meter dash?
See, that would be a halftime show to me.
You can't do it at halftime. They still got the second half they got to play. But hopefully Ted Ginn would accept that challenge, and maybe money could be raised for charity.
Right.
Give money to the kids somehow. So stay tuned. That'll be interesting to see if that happens. Coming up on the show, a woman got kicked out of Golden Corral restaurant.
Oh, no.
Because of what she was wearing. And I'm going to put the picture. She took a picture of herself, and I'm going to put this picture up on the Bayou Facebook page coming up, and I want to get your take on this. See if you agree. And I'm looking at the picture. I'm thinking to myself, are they sure that's what they kicked her out for? Or did they kick her out for refusing to leave the buffet and going up more than...
I knew that's where this was going.
Well, we'll explain coming up. here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So this woman in Pennsylvania is making news because she claims the restaurant, Golden Corral, you know, the buffet.
Wonderful place.
Yeah, I'm a very simple person when it comes to food and that.
Well, we've only got one near the city on Williams, I believe.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've only been once. I'd like to go back, but I liked it. And like I said, I'm a very simple person, and you throw a bunch of food out and say you can go up as many times as you want. You go in there when you're really hungry.
It's been a long time since I've been at a buffet. Definitely miss it.
By the way, that's Joshua Dowsch. He's filling in for Brewster today. Josh usually does the traffic on this show. I think Brewster's going to be back tomorrow. But this woman in Pennsylvania is claiming that the restaurant Golden Corral kicked her out for dressing too provocatively.
I'm looking at the photo as well.
So after she got kicked out, she went into a bathroom and she took a picture of herself in the mirror and she put it on her social media. Her name is Soretta Emke. Boy, names are something here in the year 2019, aren't they? I'll name something else.
Is that Sueretta? Yes. It's a combination of Sue and Loretta.
It's all one word, Sueretta. So someone had this child look down at her and said, you know, she looks like a Soretta.
Sounds like a knife, Soretta, or a gun.
And her last name is Emke, E-M-K-E. So she gets booted from Golden Corral. She took a picture of herself. She's wearing shorts, and they're pretty short. And she's got on, I guess, a tank top, a crop top, that's called. And a little bit of her stomach is showing. I guess she could pull her top down because she's not svelte. Let's put it that way.
No. Crop top, Daisy Dukes. I don't know. I'm not seeing it.
Well, she's making headlines because she says she was asked to leave a Golden Corral restaurant last week in Pennsylvania because she was dressed too provocatively. She was dining with her family at one of the Golden Corrals, this one in Erie, Pennsylvania, when a manager said her crop top was too inappropriate and some customers had complained. Now, again, I'm looking at this picture here, and her top does not cover all of her top. And look, I'm trying to be nice here. She's a big girl. And part of her stomach, her belly button, is it's kind of like, there it is.
I'm seeing all that, and I understand, but they don't have a pre-existing dress code, according to this article.
That's what Soretta is upset about.
And then I've probably seen worse at Walmart or the grocery store on the weekend, walking around. This is not.
But you're not eating at Walmart. People are dining out at this Golden Corral in Erie, Pennsylvania, and here's a big girl.
Well, then move her.
And they're able to see her belly button.
Well, they can move her to a back corner or something. Maybe Golden Corral should have blankets or ponchos for these people. So,
okay, if you're a manager at that Golden Corral and customers, more than one, complained about how they're trying to eat, and here's this bigger girl. Well, let's face the facts. The big boned.
We got to take into account the sensibility.
Big belly button.
The sensibilities of people in Erie, Pennsylvania, probably not sharing those with myself and down here.
Josh, if you're paying, and what does it cost? Isn't it like $12 or $13.99, $14.99 to go up as many times as you want to the buffet at Golden Corral to get as many plates of food as you possibly can get for $14 or $15? Would you, if this woman was sitting next to you at the table or sitting at a table across from you, would you call over a manager and say, look, I'm sorry, I'm at this nice dining establishment with my family here. I'm going to go up as many times as I possibly can to get as many plates of food as I possibly can. Do I need to be staring at this sitting across from me?
I'm, I, I'm locked into the meal at Golden Corral, and I'm more concerned of me not looking like an embarrassment to myself in front of people. So I'm not really looking across the room at other folks. And I could glance up and be like, hey, that woman's wearing some revealing clothing, and then I'd stare back down at my plate.
So when the manager at this Golden Corral in Erie, Pennsylvania, went over to Suretta Emke and said, look, a couple of people are complaining about your outfit. Your crop top is not appropriate. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Well, of course, Suretta Emke wasn't happy. And she asked what was, according to her, she asked what was inappropriate about her outfit. And she says the manager could not answer that question. She wrote on Facebook that the manager's request probably had more to do with her not being thin. So, quote, so it's not considered sexy, unquote, she wrote on her Facebook page. She said she had seen people in there wearing less and nothing was said to them. This is the next question I was going to ask, Josh. If this woman wasn't a bigger woman.
Again, I'm deferring to my prior answer. I'm not really concerned with what other people look like when I'm locked into the buffet at Golden Corral. I'm thinking of how do I not look like a slob myself? Now, yeah, if she was smaller, if she's a supermodel walking through there, yeah.
We're not having this conversation today because this is not a story.
Again, though, the sensitivity of some people in Erie, Pennsylvania might be different. They could be, I mean, we're in Amish country over there.
And we do live in this day and age where people are so sensitive, people are so politically correct. People wake up every day to find out what they're going to be outraged about today. What's the outrage of the day?
I've heard complaints about lesser things in restaurants. So even if she was smaller, supermodel, as I said, I could still see people complaining. Absolutely. People like to complain.
Well, she continued. And she said, quote, how can you not have a dress code, but then make one up for certain customers if another customer complains? That's not okay. It is discrimination. And if you are okay with that, where are you going to draw the line? You know, this is one of those stories where people are going to be outraged on both sides of the story. Some people evidently were outraged enough in Golden Corral to say, hey, that big girl and her top isn't covering her entire belly. How am I supposed to eat looking at that? Can you please remove her from the restaurant? And then there are going to be people on the other side of the outrage saying, hey, just because she's a big girl doesn't mean she has to cover up her belly button. This is a sexy crop top.
Golden Corral's in a catch-22 here.
You can't win here.
Because, and the response of regional management apparently is like, well, we'll implement some sensitivity training. I don't know how that fixes this situation at all. Hopefully out of this, she gets like a free dinner or coupon or something out of it.
So this woman was not happy about this. She reached out to the regional training manager at Golden Corral, who, quote, apologized profusely. He then, according to her, told her he planned to implement sensitivity training and hire more female managers. I mean, wouldn't it have been easier if the manager just walked up to her and said, you see that crop top? Can it not be so cropped? Can you maybe pull it down to cover up your belly? Because the customers over here are trying to eat their 12th serving of meatloaf. And they're having a tough time with you sitting over there wearing this top.
Nobody looks good in Golden Corral. It's not a good look on anyone.
It's not one of those dining establishments where people dress to the nines.
You don't go to Golden Corral to be seen on Friday night. No.
Well, now this woman, she has issues. Old Suretta Emke. She says now she plans to never wear the crop top again.
See, that's a shame. You shouldn't do that. That shouldn't have.
I'm trying to be as nice as possible here. She's a big girl.
That's her choice.
She's wearing a crop top, and it was a little bit too cropped. It did not cover her whole belly, and it was hanging out during dinner at Golden Corral. The question here, did that require an ejection?
Golden Corral only ejected her based on the sensitivities of other people there. So Golden Corral going back regionally and training people on sensitivity fixes nothing. It's up to the other customers in every Golden Corral across the country basically to point at someone and decide, I don't like that.
And what is this sensitivity training going to entail? Is it going to have to do with bigger girls wearing crop tops?
And what does hiring more female managers have to do with fixing that?
Because maybe the female manager will be able to say, you know what? I'm sorry if you're complaining about her, but this is Golden Corral. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. This isn't her first plate in front of her. So what? Her crop top doesn't cover her whole belly. As a female manager, if a female could say, I'm a feminist, and how dare you want her ejected because you could see her big belly.
You could say, we got a sign on the door that says, no shoes, no shirt, no service. She's got shoes. She's got part of a shirt.
Mm. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this up on the Bayou Facebook page. And I'm going to see if you go to our Facebook page, do you think this woman should have been ejected for her crop top not covering her whole body while she was enjoying as many plates as she possibly could have at Golden Corral in Erie, Pennsylvania?
But the limit here is like, what if someone at another table is complaining about a person's offensive T-shirt or something?
And that's a whole other story.
But where does it end? Where these customers complain about this customer?
Well, that's what Soretta Emke wants to know. Where does this end?
And then it's up to management to just, well, this which table's spending more money? We'll listen to those people. Like,
all right. Well, I'm going to go. Coming up next, we've got another Florida man story. And I'm going to go put this story with her picture up on the Bayou Facebook page. And give me a minute to do that, and then go check that out and let us know what you think over there. Did that crop top warrant an ejection from the Golden Corral restaurant here on Bayou 95.7? Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. We always ask you, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, be a part of our radio station on Facebook, Bayou 957. We just put up the picture and the story about the woman we were just talking about who was kicked out of a Golden Corral restaurant in Erie, Pennsylvania because the shirt she was wearing didn't cover up her whole top. And if you want to go see that and you could say yay or nay if you agree or disagree with the management of Golden Corral kicking her out.
We got a text here from 323 area code. They said the correct question we should be asking with that story is, does a business have or not have the right to determine who can be on its property at any given time?
Yeah, of course they do.
Yes.
As someone who used to own a bar, yeah, we could refuse to serve anybody for pretty much any reason if they smelled funny, if they weren't dressed the way we wanted them to. I mean,
that's up to the business, but the business in this situation was copping to the pleas of one of its customers.
And she's a big girl, and so her big belly is a bigger belly. I mean, she's not immense. But what she's saying is, if she wasn't a few pounds overweight, that this would have never happened. If she was thin, if her belly button was showing, that customers wouldn't have complained, and then she wouldn't have been kicked out of the restaurant. Do you agree with that? And again, like our texter just said, and by the way, you could always text the show 504-260-9595. Remember, standard rates apply, and please do not text while you're driving. That's not good. But yes, just like that last texter said, an establishment can ask someone to leave for pretty much any reason that they want. In this case, customers were complaining about this big girl's crop top being a little bit too cropped. And not enough top.
Well, they add that if the business doesn't, then that's how you know we don't live in a free society. That's what they've tagged on at the end.
That's right.
So, but again, I mean, if customers are determining that the business is copying to the pleas of someone, then the business isn't making a decision. They're not stepping up and saying, there's our policy, that person's fine.
So check out the story with the accompanying picture on our Facebook page, Bayou 95.7, and throw in your 3 cents. Should she have been kicked out of the restaurant?
And I'm of the opinion, based on Erie, Pennsylvania, that even if it was like a really thin, supermodel-looking woman, that some conservative kind of person over there.
I don't think so.
I think someone would have probably... Yeah, I was thinking if they were in some really revealing clothing, somebody would have complained.
I mean, it's Golden Corral. They're going in for dinner, and they're going to pay, what, $14, $15 to eat as many plates of food from their buffet as they possibly can. You think that the diners in that place are going to, if some really, really attractive, thin woman walked in with a crop top showing her belly button, you think that they would have said, look.
I think certain crowds of people would not like that in a restaurant. I think so. Again, Erie, Pennsylvania. We're flirting with Amish country over there.
You know what it is? And I think this is safe to say, and I think if you're listening, you'll agree with this. As we sit here in the year 2019, there are many, 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 many Americans who just have no shame.
Is that a good thing? Should you be proud of who you are in 2019?
Well, some people would tell you that.
Yeah.
But if you're overweight and you're going out to dinner, shouldn't you wear a shirt atop that covers your entire belly and doesn't leave your belly button and your lower belly like that exposed while you're going up and down to the buffet?
Conventional wisdom would say yes, but then whose place is it to say, hey, that's not appropriate if you're not someone running an establishment?
There was a time in our country when I was younger where people had shame. You know, when you see these videos, people freaking out on airplanes and people freaking out in restaurants and people, look at the way they dress in Walmart. And, you know, I look at pictures of people on Canal Street from the 1940s and the 1950s. People were always dressed up walking on Canal Street. The women wore gloves and they had hats.
What gets me
The men were all in shirts, ties, and jackets, and suits. Now you look at, take a walk down Canal Street. My God, what happened?
What gets me about old photos going back 50 to 100 years in New Orleans when you see everyone dressed up, dressed to the nines, I'm thinking, how hot is it?
Ugh.
And how are you washing a full suit every day? And
I know there are people... Josh, and that's Joshua Dowse. He's filling in for Brewster. Josh usually does traffic on the show. I think Brewster's going to be back tomorrow. And I understand what you're saying.
Because
there are people in this country that say, look, be yourself. You know, you don't need to be ashamed of yourself. You know, but then I remember, because I have a lot of shame, personally. But that's just me. I think we live in a time... We're just look around. People have no shame. Not everybody, but there's a good chunk of people that just have no shame anymore.
Well, this time of year in New Orleans, I'm not going to begrudge anyone for not wearing a lot of clothing. I understand, especially if you have to be outside all the time. I get it.
So the weather's an excuse. All right, so go check that out on our Bayou Facebook page and throw in your opinion. What do you think about that? Did you see what happened with Tracy Morgan, the comedian, the other day?
I'm looking at it right now. Brand new Bugatti.
He got a brand new $2 million car, a Bugatti, and he was driving it in Manhattan, in New York City, and a woman got into a fender bender with him. He freaked out, and then he gets out of his car, and he starts banging on the woman driver's car who bumped into his $2 million car. He's banging on her driver's side window, screaming, get out the car, bitch. Get out the car, bitch.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan has definitely some PTSD from that last car accident he was involved
in. He almost got killed in a car accident.
That just completely wrecked his life for a good 2 years. And so that combined with him just buying a $2 million Bugatti, again... I understand the overreaction here from Tracy.
But he's one of these guys, one of these comedians, who has become politically correct. When he tells a joke that's not politically correct, and he's been called out on it, he publicly apologizes. And I never like that when comedians apologize for jokes they tell. So how does he explain? Look, I understand you just bought a $2 million car. But how do you explain banging on the woman's window who hit your car, screaming, get out the car, bitch, get out the car, bitch? Isn't that sexist? Isn't he going to be out to apologizing for that now, like he apologizes for some of his politically incorrect jokes?
Oh, I'm sure he has to apologize. It's because this story obviously has gained enough traction that he's going to have to say something.
The woman who got into a fender bender with comedian Tracy Morgan in his $2 million Bugatti yesterday said she was traumatized by his yelling at her after the fender bender. And she didn't even know who he was until people told her. She's a 61-year-old woman, and she said she was freaking out after this because people were taking pictures of him, and she asked the traffic cop why people were taking pictures of him, and the cop said, you don't watch TV? That's a famous guy. And then there was a double-decker tourist bus with a guide on it who was at that same intersection saying, look to the left, that's comedian Tracy Murray. That's comedian Tracy Morgan, who was yelling at that woman because she just drove into his very expensive car right
and
there.
And it's not even a bad accident. She scratched his side fender. It's not the end of the world. I'm sure it's expensive to fix a part for a Bugatti, but...
The woman said, quote, he was yelling at me. I got scared. I didn't yell anything back. I just stayed in my car.
He's an emotional guy, though. I understand where this overreaction is coming from. And then I also understand the woman being traumatized by this stranger jumping out of a car and banging on her window.
But a politically correct comedian like Tracy Morgan, who he has suddenly become because he has apologized for politically incorrect jokes he is told once he gets called out on them. How is he going to explain banging on her window, get out the car, bitch, get out the car, bitch? I know his $2 million brand new car was just in a little fender bender with her, but is that any reason for a multimillionaire like Tracy Morgan to be screaming that word at a woman who is now scared for what just happened?
No, of course not. But the political correct aspect of his career is a social media veneer. You take any of these guys that have to say all these things online and you press their buttons enough in something like a car accident situation and you'll see the real them come out once the stress comes down.
It was a few years ago in a nightclub. He told a joke, and I'm paraphrasing, and I don't have a punchline here, but he told a joke saying how much he didn't want his son to be gay, and if his son was gay, he was going to slap him or whatever the case may be. Well, once the gay rights advocate heard about that, they went after him. And he had to make a public apology saying, there's nothing wrong with being gay. And if my son's gay, whatever the case may be, I would love him. And so if he's gonna cave as a comedian to groups like that, how dare he call a woman the B word in the middle of a New York City street while he's banging on the window of her car? His career should be over at this point. If he's politically correct the way he appears to be,
he's politically correct. Yeah, in apologies to preserve the career, he'll apologize
exactly.
For this too.
Exactly.
Maybe she'll get a little set, even though maybe it's her fault with the accident. Maybe now she gets a settlement for being traumatized by this, and that they pay off, and it all goes away. He puts an apology about overreacting. He really loves his new $2 million Bugatti.
Yeah, well, stay tuned for something along the lines of Tracy Morgan releasing a statement saying that I was upset. It was my new car. I didn't mean to call this woman the B word while I was banging on her window. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up on the show, I got this Florida man story I got to get to. There's Florida men and Florida women stories every day. And we don't have enough time in the show to get to them every day, but I want to get to this one. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Yeah. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Got a Florida man story for you. Florida man arrested after pouring ketchup on his sleeping girlfriend. A Florida man was arrested and charged with domestic battery. On Sunday, he doused his sleeping girlfriend with a bottle of ketchup because he thought she was having an affair. He thought she was doing sex with another dude.
If this was in Chicago, I would ask, is it because he didn't use mustard? Because there are hot dog grills over there.
37-year-old Peter Wagman denied the condiment attack despite having ketchup on the right side of his pants. Yeah, if you're going to, you got to have your story straight and you got to be cleaned up if you're going to do that. Police said the woman woke up to ketchup being poured on her by the defendant as the defendant was yelling, "That's what you get, bleep."
Is this domestic violence? Is that the charge?
That's what he got charged with. If you pour a bottle of ketchup on the person you're living with, that's domestic violence.
Now, was it the glass bottle where he had to hit the bottom and stick the knife in and try to get it?
I don't know. It took him 20 minutes because he's banging the bottom of the bottle. How long did this attack take? He pleaded not guilty to this misdemeanor domestic battery charge. But boy, when you're professing your innocence, saying you didn't pour a bottle of ketchup on your sleeping girlfriend, and the cops look down and they see ketchup on the side of your pants.
He's caught red-handed. Red-panted.
That's exactly how he was caught. It's a Florida man story. Coming up next, will you in the state of Louisiana be able, while you're driving your car, to hold your cell phone in your hand? We'll tell you next. Yes or no? That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So on this show in the past few weeks, we've talked about what I think are some of the biggest issues that the Louisiana legislature have been talking about this legislative session in Baton Rouge, which is almost over. Legalized sports gambling was one of them, and we've talked about a few here on the show. Here's another one, the handheld cell phone ban while you're driving in your car. There are many people, and they've been trying to get this bill passed for the last few years in Baton Rouge, but it has failed. And there are many people who want it to be against the law for you to hold your cell phone in your hand while you're driving in your car. And let's face the facts. How many times are you at a red light and you look over and the person is looking down, their head's looking down, because you know they're texting on their phone or they're looking at something on their phone. They're scrolling, they're doing something on their cell phone. And so there are states, some states, where this is the law. It is against the law while you're driving a car to even have your cell phone touch your hand. California is one of those states.
Distracted driving has existed since the beginning of driving, in my opinion. And I agree. You look around, everyone's on their phone. But you have to accept that as a part of just driving in 2019. Even in states where it's illegal, people are still using their phone.
Well, this legislative session is almost over in Baton Rouge. And once again, the handheld cell phone ban fails. So you're not breaking the law, and you won't be for the next year at least, if you have your cell phone in your hand while you're driving your car.
Yes, you're in mortal danger for at least one more year driving around with distracted drivers.
You're saying that very facetiously, Josh. It's one of those bills that Louisiana lawmakers have considered year after year, and it fails to pass year after year, and it just failed to pass.
There's too many variables in it for me with distracted driving per the cell phone. And then when you say and you make it illegal, you're telling people that everyone has to go out and buy a hands-free Bluetooth set, more or less, or have a phone that syncs up to your have a car at least that syncs up to your phone so you can do the hands-free talk and text situation, which not everyone has, and not everyone has Bluetooth.
Well, and this bill was written by State Representative Mike Hovel from Brobridge, or is it Hovel? H-U-V-A-L. But that state rep from Brobridge, he brings this bill, and he brought it again this year, and he said, quote, "So you feel good about, well, this bill is finally getting momentum, then unfortunately it fails," he said, when
see, this is
the handheld cell phone bill failed again.
There's a divergence here of when you live in a smaller town and city in Louisiana versus New Orleans, where you look around in your small town, you see distracted driving, you're like, oh, this is awful, this is an epidemic. And then when you're in the city and you're sitting in traffic with thousands and thousands and thousands of people and everyone's looking at their phone, again, you come to a wall of this is unenforceable virtually.
Yeah, or they'll just pick whoever they see, and then they'll never get all the people.
Because everyone's using it. Everyone's not just using it for texting. They don't know where they're going. Everybody uses navigation on their phones. Not everyone's phone syncs to their console. The map shows up on the screen. Not everyone has that. A lot of people for work, they have to go and drive to new addresses every day for deliveries. They don't know where they're going. Got to use their phone.
Well, Josh, here in New Orleans, we have other issues when we're driving in our cars in the city of New Orleans. Well, people get shot here every day. We always got to look out for that. The potholes are insane. By the way, did you see in a couple of potholes, there are fresh vegetables growing out of a couple of our potholes. Fresh produce!
Finally, we can maybe look into that.
Well, they say, hey, how come, you know, the people in the poorer neighborhoods are the food deserts, they're not getting fresh. Finally, in the New Orleans potholes, in two different ones, plants are growing, vegetables are growing out of New Orleans potholes.
This is a branding opportunity for local farmers to sell pothole vegetables.
I think we're onto something there.
But yeah, no, on top of this texting and on top of potholes, the other value, I go through this list all the time, streetcars. You've got traffic camera and speed zones you have to be aware of. When you're going through downtown, you've got pedicabs and people on bikes. You've got horses and carriages. All these other things you got to be aware of driving, you have to know this in advance. Otherwise, you're out in the cold with some of the stuff. People don't know in the city that live their whole lives whether they can make a left turn or they have to stop at that crossover in the turn lane or they can keep going.
And they're doing that while they're on their cell phone texting.
Maybe they're Googling what they should do at that intersection.
Well, did you know the state of Georgia? This is law in Georgia. In Georgia, you cannot be driving your car and you cannot have your cell phone in your hand. Your hand can't touch your cell phone while you're in the driver's seat. And State Rep Mike Hovel from Brobridge, who brought up this bill that got shot down again here in Louisiana this year, he says that Georgia law, quote, "It has saved at least one life per week so far. That's a lot of lives to be saved."
How do they quantify that one?
That's a good question. Well, there's 52 weeks in a year, and how long has that been on the books, that law?
They just compared it to the amount of accidents the year before with distracted driving involved.
So if you're listening right now, are you happy about that? I mean, the libertarian in me, that's what I am politically. I'm for less government intrusion in our lives, more personal responsibility in every issue. So I'm happy about this. But then at the same time, you know, every time you look around and you see someone at a red light and then they're doing something on their cell phone, they are not paying attention to what they really should be paying attention to.
But everyone's doing that. You can't give everyone a ticket. If they would do it, if they did like a checkpoint, like when they check for brake tags somewhere, and they just made
that's a scam too.
Well, if they did that with looking for cell phones, everybody would be pulling off to the shoulder, like that traffic would wherever it would, but just back up because everyone would be getting a ticket. And then again, how much is this ticket? And are they going to raise that arbitrarily over the years?
The brake tags are a scam too. We've talked about that on the show. You know, there was a bill in Baton Rouge this legislative session that's about over now that they wanted to eliminate brake tags, that we don't need brake tags anymore, and they would just add an extra $10 on to your insurance or whatever, to your taxes or whatever the case may be. But I think that got shot down. To me, brake tags are a scam. You know, the $25, $30 to Look, if someone's headlight is out or if someone has a cracked windshield, they should get it fixed. And if the cop wants to pull them over for having a headlight or a taillight or a brake light out,
right,
then pull them over. But why should everybody have to go pay $25 or $30 a year, whatever it is, to get a brake tag?
Not to mention people in the know with hookups can go get brake tags for their cars that aren't working.
Yeah.
Now, I used to live in California, and in lieu of brake tags, they have the emission tests. And I've always thought, living here, that they probably don't have that purely because I see some of these buses driving around spewing black smoke. None of them would pass the California emissions test.
It's funny, they have that in Los Angeles, and the skies are still filled with crap.
Imagine that.
And they have that law out there in Southern California, all of California. So, once again, the handheld cell phone ban has failed again. Are you happy about that, or are you sad about that? Do you think it should be law, against the law, for people while they're driving in their cars to have their cell phones touch their hands in any way, be in their hands? And it failed again here in Louisiana this year.
Too many variables here for me.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So Oakland, California has become the second city in the United States to legalize magic mushrooms. How about that? Yesterday, Oakland decriminalized magic mushrooms after a string of speakers testified that psychedelics helped them overcome depression, drug addiction, and post-traumatic stress disorder. And then the city council went and voted unanimously to decriminalize the adult use and possession of magic mushrooms. Denver, Colorado, was the first city to decriminalize magic mushrooms, man.
So plan your vacations to Oakland and Denver this summer.
How about that? Oakland is losing the Raiders, and they're losing the Golden State Warriors, because Golden State next year will be playing across the bay there in San Francisco. But they're gaining
the shrooms.
Magic mushrooms. But, you know, I mean, those things do, they're natural. They just grow out of the ground.
And they help people they do help people overcome all those things that you said.
Are they grown in animal poop?
Yes. So, if you know where a cow field is nearby, try your luck at it.
How about that? Oakland's got some problems, but magic mushrooms, they're not one of them. They just became the second city in the United States to decriminalize them. Them in Denver, if you...
Maybe that'll help those Raiders fans calm down.
If you feel like tripping out on shrooms, you can do it legally in those two cities right now. Isn't it something? Boy, did you ever think you'd see that in your life?
No, I can't say. I thought weed would come around eventually.
We're heading to a place where marijuana will be legal and cigarettes will be illegal. We're getting to that place. We're coming close to that place.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.